Hello everyone and welcome to this talk about tracing Kubernetes traffic with Istio. My name is Rakim Hrazdil and I'm part of the Kubernetes network team. You can find my contact information at the bottom left. Without further ado, let's get started. First, let me go over the outline of what I've prepared for the presentation. I will start off by introducing basic concepts of Istio and Kubernetes projects. With the basics covered, we'll take a deeper look into Kubernetes and Istio in pod networking. Having understood how Kubernetes and Istio route packets in Kubernetes pods, we will be able to identify challenges when trying to use Kubernetes virtual machines with Istio service mesh. We will then see how we can adjust Kubernetes and Istio network routing rules so that we can enable Kubernetes virtual machines to work with Istio service mesh. Finally, I'll demonstrate Istio monitoring capabilities with Kubernetes virtual machines on debugging a network issue. All right, Istio service mesh. Well, what is a service mesh? Service mesh is a layer of infrastructure transparent to the application that provides additional features like traffic management, monitoring, load balancing, or additional security like MTLS. What's important is that these features can be rendered by the applications instead of being re-implemented every time by each application. Well, how does it do all that? Istio deploys a sidecar container with an Envoy proxy to each Kubernetes pod and configures IP table net rules so that all traffic is first sent to the Istio proxy container and only then to the original destination. This gives Istio proxy containers the ability to intercept all traffic before it's forwarded to the application or to the outside world. And while it's doing so, it's also able to report a lot of metadata about the traffic that's being proxied. All the proxy sidecars are managed by the Istio control plane, which is responsible for distributing user configuration to the proxies. So for example, you could allow pod B to communicate with pod A, but nobody else. Another typical use case for Istio are canary releases. Assume the globe represents all your customers. Istio can route the majority of customers to the stable version, let's say V1, and only a small portion of requests to a new version. As confidence in the new version increases, we can also increase the portion of requests the new version receives. So these were some basic concepts behind Istio Service Mesh and how it utilizes proxy sidecar containers. Now let's take a look at Kubernetes. Kubernetes is a Kubernetes extension that allows running traditional virtual machine workloads. The idea of Kubernetes is to have a common roof for running containerized and legacy software. The current expectation is that developers will continue to gradually shift toward the architecture of distributed microservices, but also that there will be a lot of legacy software, for which there won't be a motivation or even a need to redesign and re-implement. And that's where Kubernetes comes in. Since using Istio Service Mesh becomes a common practice for distributed applications, we can expect developers may want to use Istio for legacy software running in virtual machines as well. And we'll see how it can be done in a minute. But first, let's focus on understanding how Kubernetes configures the network in pods when using a so-called masquerade interface. On the left side, you can see a Kubernetes pod with a container which represents the QEMU process, or in other words, the virtual machine. What happens next after creating the pod is that Kubernetes creates a bridge and a tap device assigned as a port of the bridge. This tap device is then handed over to the QEMU process that creates a virtual interface from it. The bridge and the virtual machine are assigned IP addresses by a DHCP server. You may have noticed that there is no connection between the bridge and the pod ETH0 interface. This is because there is no L2 connectivity when using the masquerade interface. The traffic is being routed using NAT NF table rules. But before I dive into describing how inbound and outbound traffic is routed to and from a virtual machine, let me remind how NetFilter NAT table chains are traversed. When a packet enters through an interface, it first traverses the pre-routing chain. If after pre-routing the destination is a local process, it continues through input to the local process. If not, it goes to the post-routing chain and finally through the output interface. Note that when a local process sends a packet, it goes straight to the output chain and then again continues to the post-routing chain and through the output interface. Now let's take a look at how Kubevirt virtual machine receives inbound traffic. When a packet is sent to the VM, it first enters the pod by its ETA0 interface. As it traverses the NAT table chain, it hits destination NAT row in the pre-routing chain. The input interface name is indeed ETA0, so we denet the packet to 10.0.2.2, which is the IP address of the VM. After that, the packet can be delivered to the VM. Let's see what happens when the VM tries to communicate to an external service. A packet with destination 1.1.1.1 is sent to the bridge, because the bridge acts as a default gateway of the VM. Then, as the packet traverses the NAT routing chains, it enters the pre-routing chain. Since the packet has not entered the pod through the ETH0 interface, there's nothing happening in pre-routing chain. And since the destination is not a local process either, we move all the way to post-routing chain. In post-routing chain, we hit masquerade rule. Masquerade is a special form of SourceNet. It changes the source IP address of the packet to the IP address of the exiting interface, which in this case is Ethernet 0 with IP address 1.2.3.4. After that, the packet is sent out. We need to change the source address so that any replies are able to return back to the pod and then back to the VM. So now we understand how the virtual machine communicates with the outside world. Inbound traffic uses destination NAT, while outbound traffic uses source NAT. This mechanism is something we call masquerade binding mechanism. Kubevirt provides some other mechanisms like bridge binding, for example, which is very similar. In bridge binding, there would be a connection between E0 and the bridge. And it works by moving the IP address from the E0 interface over to the tap device. There are no NAT rules involved in bridge binding. And the NAT rules are the reason why we're talking about masquerade, because it allows us to mangle the traffic the way we need. And that's something we are going to need for Istio. Speaking of Istio, let's see how Istio proxy routing works. On the left side, you can see a Kubernetes pod with an application and two containers injected by Istio, Istio proxy and Istio init. Istio init configures IP table rules on the pod and exits. Istio proxy is the actual proxy, the invoke process, that lives throughout the lifetime of a pod. The inbound traffic is represented by the green envelope. On the right side, I'll try to illustrate how the traffic traverses the NAT routing chains as we go. So starting with an inbound traffic represented by the green envelope, it enters the ETH0 interface and enters the pre-routing chain. In the pre-routing chain, it hits a redirect rule that forwards the packet to localhost on port 15.0.0.6. Redirect rule is a special case of a destination NAT. It basically changes the destination to a localhost on a specific port. In this case, it's this 15.0.0.6, which is a port to which Istio proxy listens to for inbound traffic. Now, since the Istio proxy is a local process, we go through the input chain, but this chain is empty, nothing happens here, so the packet is delivered to the Istio proxy. Now the proxy does whatever it is it's doing with the packet. It sends metadata about the traffic, like HTTP return codes. And when it's done, it sends the packet out to the original destination. Now, how does it know the original destination? Because we have changed the destination in the packet. Well, it learns that from reading a socket option called SO original DSD. This socket option is populated by the redirect rule. When the proxy sends this packet out, we enter the output chain because proxy is a local process, so we're not going through the pre-routing now. In the output chain, there is a cool trick that prevents the traffic to end up in an infinite loop. And it's this UID return rule. So as we enter the up chain, we evaluate this rule, which says that if the socket is related to UID 1337, which is the UID of the Istio proxy process, it's always this one, we return. We're not continuing to another redirect. This serves to distinguish the traffic that is already proxied and traffic that has been sent by the local applications. So we're not performing any further actions with this proxied packet, and it's delivered to the application. Now the application receives the packet, and presumably it will respond to the original sender. So again, application is a local process, so we start with an output chain. Now, the application UID is not 1337, it is some random number. So this rule does not match and is not performed. So we go further down the output chain and hit Istio redirect and hit the jump Istio redirect rule. And in the Istio redirect chain, there is a redirect rule to 15001. This is another port that the Istio proxy listens to, and it's listening for all outbound traffic. So again, the packet is delivered to the proxy, processed by the proxy, and sent out to the original destination. Since proxy is again a local process, we go through the output chain again, but this time we identify that the packet has been sent by the proxy because the socket is again associated with an application with UID 1337. So we're not performing any further actions and we return from the output chain so that the traffic or the packet can be sent out. Of course, before it is sent out, it would traverse the post-routing chain, but since there's nothing happening in the post-routing chain, I'm not showing it here. And lastly, you might have noticed that there are some dots in the output chain. There are actually some other rules that are added by Istio init, but these rules that I'm leaving out here are related to internal communication between the proxies and Istio control plane. Now that we understand how Kubevert and Istio networking works, we can see what happens when we try to use both together. Kubevert will try to denet all traffic at pre-routing chain into the VM, while Istio tries to redirect it to the proxy process. Now this is not going to work. What we need to achieve is to allow Istio redirect all the traffic into the proxy, and only after that forward the traffic to the VM. We can do that by removing the DNet rule from pre-routing and add it to the output chain instead. But we can't do only that, because when proxy sends a packet, it sends it from localhost to the original port on localhost. If we change the destination IP address to the VM will be able to receive it, but it won't be able to reply because the source IP address is localhost. So it will reply to localhost, but it will be localhost of the virtual machine, not the pod. So we need to source net and set the source IP to the IP address of the bridge. And we do that change when we detect that the virtual machine has enabled Istio injection. For the outbound traffic, this part was actually implemented by my colleague Sebastian Checkman. I'm linking his PR in the bottom left. So all credits goes to him. What his PR does is that Istio looks at this annotation of a pod, and if it finds it, it adds these two rules to pre-routing chain. And what these two rules do is that they check if the traffic is coming from this interface, K60-ETH0, which is the name we use for our bridge in the pod. And if it does, it will jump to the Istio redirect chain, which is the chain for outbound traffic. Why we can do that? Well, we can consider all traffic coming from the bridge, which comes from the VM, as outbound traffic. This way we ensure that all the traffic that comes from the VM is first redirected to the proxy, and after that, it's masqueraded and leaves out. And with that, let's see a demonstration. Let me introduce the topology that I have set up for the demonstration. I have two virtual machines, Fedora client and Fedora server, and two deployments, BusyBox client and HTTP bin. So I have two clients and two servers serving very simple web page. Now let's see how it looks in Kiali dashboard. So this is services tab of Kiali dashboard. We see our two services are listed here, the HTTP bin service and Fedora server service. The Fedora server service is not really healthy. It says that 50% of inbound traffic is failing. If we navigate to our graph, this is our topology graph. We can see our clients are sending requests to our services. Now this service is quite red. If I click on it and see the flags, I can see that I'm getting 404 codes on 100% of the requests. And this is our Fedora client virtual machine. So let's take a look what's wrong with it. Indeed, we are getting 404 on one of the requests. If you take a look, it's just a simple loop that's sending CURL requests, and one of the links is broken. Let's fix the link and now it works. Cool. Let's go back to our graph and with time, this should turn green. I'll skip forward because it takes some time. And here we go. After a few seconds, the topology has converged to a all healthy topology. And this concludes the demo. Thank you very much for your attention. If you would like to try this yourself on your local machine, I encourage you to do so. If you follow this link, you'll be presented with a blog post that guides you through the setup of a local Kubernetes cluster, along with deployment of everything you need. That's all from my side. See you at the Q&A.